Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, friends. Welcome to You Up, the podcast. A little hit of pod for you today on Tuesday. I'm joined today in my dad's home office in St. Louis, Missouri, with my pal who's staying here all this week. We had a week off in between road shows, Salt Lake City and then Nashville this weekend, which was canceled. And so now Andrew Collin is just at my parents' house in St. Louis, kind of for no reason, just hanging out because we're not going to Nashville. I mean, you're still going to Nashville.
Yeah, it feels good to be here. Yeah, it is weird that we don't have.
said that, you know, when people start off, they go, it's good to be here. It's almost like I was like, do you feel good to be here? You answered in a way that was like, yeah, it does feel good to, like when my therapist sometimes suggests something and I go, yeah, that is what but it's not really hitting the nail on the head.
It
doesn't feel good.
No. It does.
How does it feel?
There's little things like the car thing to go get food today.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy to be like, look, I just want to use a car. Is that a big deal? And then your dad got a new car.
Right.
And he doesn't want me to take that because he thinks I'll crash it a mile away from here.
I know. It's crazy. My parents get really weird about like new stuff. They're very materialistic, even though that car is old.
Yeah, the car has.
It's 2011 or something.
30,000 miles and it's already been in a wreck.
It's already been in a wreck and been put back together. It's like a refurb. But my dad is still weird about it and wouldn't let you drive that. And he goes, why doesn't he take your car? And I'm like, because my car isn't my car. It's a loaner. So there's less reason for, you know, I can't have you take my car because I don't even have insurance on it for myself, much less you. So it truly is illegal for me to even be driving it, let alone you. So that's why I couldn't let you take it. But then my dad not letting you take their quote unquote new car is so stupid. And it just shows you what I deal with around here.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess, you know, one man's trash is trash.
is another person's trash.
It's another person's trash. No, I mean, it's I get it. I get protective over some things sometimes. But
I don't think you do.
Maybe I don't. Just use whatever.
Right. I get the same way. Like yesterday I bought my root beers that are like $8 for a 10 pack. It's a lot to spend on a 10 pack of soda. You got to admit, a 10 pack, not even a 12 pack. And I just know how you consume things. You're much like me. You'll have one and then you'll want another and then another. And then by the time you've drink, and it's not even about the price as much as it's about, I have to go get more. So yes. I just bought that for me, and then I bought you and the rest of my family 2 12-packs of seltzer because I was like, oh, he doesn't need this special brand of root beer. And then you're like, that looks good. I want that. That's why I don't like to eat around you because then you get ideas about my food, and then you eat my food.
I eat your food out of your bowl?
No, like you get my ideas, and then you want what I have, and then what I have is usually around the house, and then you eat it, and then it's less for me, and I have to go buy more to supplement for myself. Whereas if you just eat the things you want, it would be easier because it wouldn't be my things.
Yeah, but maybe when your friend thinks of something cool or like something great that you never would have thought of, and it influences you to make better choices that will actually help your life. Not only
it doesn't help my life for you to eat the food that I bought for myself. right.
That's my life.
I know.
Like when I was the fasting thing. You told me that
I can't even listen to you talk about diets. I have weird diet stuff. I don't like anyone talking about diets.
I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see how like I couldn't even talk about it.
Yeah. No. We can talk about how I don't want to hear about it.
Yes.
I really have a weird aversion to my friends talking about dieting
because
I'm so obsessed with food and it haunts me constantly in a way that no one understands. Maybe a couple people understand, but no one understands. I would say 99.98% of people listening to this do not understand my relationship with food. And I don't share it that often, but it's like it's very triggering for me to see other people engage in dieting and weird food behaviors because for me it's like I can't explain it. I just don't, because it impacts me. If I see you starving yourself all day and then I have to then starve myself all day because I can't have you eating less than me. I just can't have it. You're a boy. And so when less than me, it makes me furious and then I hate myself and then it'll lead me to depression. It has nothing to do with you. It's all my own thing. But I just can't handle it.
But it does affect me in the sense that if let's say I want to eat healthier.
Yeah, hate it.
You hate that. Mm-hmm. But don't you think about, wow, Andrew, it's better for him to be healthy.
No, because I don't think that your healthy choices are actually that healthy. I think that you are just
Like yesterday, I want to eat a salad for lunch. You're like, you don't want the bun?
Yeah. because
like
I just,
you're putting the bun on me.
I know, because I'm projecting, because this is what boys do. Boys think that eating salads won't make them more hungry later and make them binge later. So it's not actually preventing you from being, it's not actually healthy. You're going to eat a salad and you're going to be starving way sooner than you would be if you actually ate.
But I think you're putting that on me.
I know. I do. I put a lot of stuff on people.
The fasting thing, like that's the only reason why I kind of got upset about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, let's talk about what it was.
So I wrote a post about like fasting.
Intermittent fasting,
which is when you eat, it's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's the window. You can eat whatever you want just within that window. So if I'm fasting, the only time that it's not like I'm not eating all day, it's mm-hmm. only between six. And if you go to bed at 10, which mm-hmm. I don't, but let's just say a normal person, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
You're just eating earlier.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I didn't know that that was what fasting was. That's not that big of a deal. So I wrote a thing though about like, oh, you know, my asshole feels better. My tongue feels fast, like whatever, yeah. like diet bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then I get a text from you go, well, if you're fasting, I can't hang out with you.
I really can't.
But
I'm cutting out friends.
A friendship.
Yeah.
Even if I never,
until you stop fasting, because it's not going to last forever. But yeah, I wouldn't be friends with people. I'm not friends with people who do weird diet things and like think it's a good idea. I know.
It's interesting.
It's an eating disorder. If intermittent fasting is anorexia and I don't want to hang out with someone, like I don't hang out with new comics. Right. I don't hang out with guys that just started open mics because they become obsessed and they think that it's their obsession with this thing that I've been doing forever and I'm fucking over it. I can't stand someone who I've been intermittent fasting, which is anorexia, where you starve yourself and then you eat a lot and then you starve yourself and you eat a lot. And you're during those times that you allow yourself to eat, you only want to eat and that's all you can think about. And when you aren't eating, that's all you can think about is that you want to eat. And it's like, it's just, I know that lifestyle. I don't want to be around it. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to, and it will start to bleed into my own life. And I'm trying to have like healthy behaviors with food. And if I'm around people who are exhibiting unhealthy ones, I just know it's going to set me off and I just don't want to be around it.
I hear you, but I don't know how unhealthy that, like, I think as a joke, I think it's funny to say, well, intermittent fasting and anorexia. I don't know if you're eating for 8 hours a day throughout that window, if that's anorexia. Like,
it's an eating disorder, but it's not anorexia. We can get into it, but it's just not, it's anyways, not healthy behavior with food.
But my only thing is, and why I got offended was because I was 210 pounds mm-hmm. and I'm 5'9" and right. I have high cholesterol and I have high blood pressure. So it's like,
I don't think that's going to work for you. Intermittent fasting. I think it's a quick fix.
Okay. I'm just saying in general though, like if I choose a salad over not eating bread, I should not be that heavy. Like I should be lighter mm-hmm. if I want to live longer and I should eat healthier because I do have a bad asshole. Like,
right.
So when I took that, I internalized that as, wow, she doesn't care about my well-being.
Oh, it had nothing to do with that.
But how people can take it that way? If they're trying to be healthy and you go, well, I don't.
Oh, because to me, well, yes, I could see that if you interpreted intermittent fasting as being healthy, to me, it's like being so unhealthy. And regardless, either one, I don't care about your health. I'm not taking that into consideration. I am not. I'm just going to be honest.
Why not, though?
Because I have my own health to worry about, and that comes first. Because I can't – I will die if I am triggered the wrong way with my eating disorder. Okay. It is a life or death thing, so I can't – I don't want to – my friends who go on celery cleanses – they're out.
I don't do that. I'm not crazy.
But intermittent fasting is a version of that.
It's not celery.
I know, but it's a version of it. I have to be very diligent about my...
I'm with you.
Being around people that are exhibiting... I know it's weird. I can't explain it. But
that's how I internalized. Initially, I was upset. And
yeah.
then I thought...
Well, I'm glad you didn't tell me that you were upset.
Well, what do you want from... I don't want to then be like... I don't know. I felt like that it wasn't... I came to the conclusion what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that it had nothing to do with me.
Right.
But I took it. Like,
well, I am sorry.
And
that
I'm not looking for an apology. That's not why.
Well, you should get one because I can be really brash and probably very scary and like not nice when I'm in those moments of feeling triggered by my friends' behaviors with food that remind me of my own, that haunt me constantly, because there is something about that I'm just trying to get over, is like, I can't stand when people do things that I do. I just hate it because I know the things I do are not healthy and I hate them and I hate it about myself. So I honestly, it's almost out of love that I don't want other people suffering with the things I suffer with constantly. So like when I see you take on, because the way my anorexia came about and like my eating disorder, that is not only like it ruined my life in a lot of ways, but I'm grateful for it, yada, 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 because it's made me strong and who I am. But it all started with an innocent diet. It all started with, I'm going to try this thing. And then it just got out of control. And then I lost everything. And that's what I guess I just put that on other people, that they won't be able to control it.
It's kind of like taking down a Confederate statue and now blowing up Mount Rushmore. Yeah, I get it.
I just see where it's going. Yeah.
No, but I know. But like, I know my brain. And I also know that my ability to not sustain things.
Yes.
But I also know that like, if I want to lower my carb count and like try to lose some weight, that I don't want to also have like that feeling of like, oh no, she's going to think that I'm trying to do like I'm having like some kind of eating disorder. It's like, no, I just want to eat a salad instead of a sandwich.
Yeah. No, like- I've gotten better about it with you and your dieting things. I'm trying to let them go, and it is a process for me. And I completely want to just say that I am a twat. I'm a fucking cunt to be around sometimes. Like, I'm not easy. I can be very mean. I can be very brash. I can be very Kurt Metzger-y. No.
Is that a word? It's Kurt.
Yeah, I think it's a word. Can be bad, and I can be really difficult to be friends with, and I and especially with you, because I just feel like it's unconditional and that you'll always like be my friend, but you absolutely have a right to not be at some point, and so I should be more mindful of that.
Well, sure. I mean, but that's not gonna happen. You would really have to fuck up for me not to. And I you never like fuck up. It's not like you do things like out of like spite. It's like, you know, or at least with me, you know,
I don't, but I do. I have jealousy issues.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
Like, okay, let's take what happened the other day. Like, what set you off to that depression? I was like, hey, do you want to check out this video that Andrew Schultz made?
Right.
And then.
And so I couldn't
it for like 2 seconds. You couldn't watch it.
I don't like watching people. If I watch anything, it's because I think you're less good than me. If I can, not anything, because I do watch things sometimes that I'm like, and I get triggered and then I start to feel bad about myself. I don't want to watch. That's why I'm not going to watch Hamilton. Those people are too talented. It's a problem.
But they're talented in different ways, dude. Why does that affect you at all?
I guess it affects me because I just think that I'm not that talented and that I've tricked people and that somehow, and I've even tricked myself into thinking I'm talented. So if I watch these things, then I'm going to, and it happens all the time. Like, that's how I slip into depression, is I see someone who's more talented than me and I just want to kill myself. Cause it's like, what's the point of existing if you can't be as good as that person? I just can't take it. So wait, the other day with what? But I'm trying to find a letter my friend wrote.
Should it be in your field though? Like Hamilton's on it. That's like saying like, if you played baseball and you're very good at baseball, then you saw a guy throw a football and you were like, or you watch like Patrick, you know what I mean? Like, why are you even, why do you think stand up? Because maybe you want to act one day? Like, why would that even affect you?
Right. I guess it's because sometimes I see people that are so, no, I don't want to act and I don't want to dance. I don't know why Hamilton, because Hamilton's so, you know what? Actually, it is a threatening thing to me, because Hamilton is funny. It's like a quick rap. It's someone who's thinking really quickly. It's someone who's taking information and galvanizing it in a way that's really palatable and just brilliant. And that's comedy, essentially. So it is threatening to me. I'm embarrassed to even admit these things. I mean, this isn't easy for me to say. I feel like the Andrew Schultz thing. I'm glad I watched it because it was really funny and it actually ended up being more inspiring than like, I'm trying to find a thing on my phone where my friends in high school wrote a letter. My friends and I have all been sending each other like notes from high school and diary entries. And my friend wrote a diary entry and I think she recorded it, but that's why I can't find it. Taylor, she wrote something that said like, Nikki is so abusive to me and Kirsten. And I said, I am so sad to learn I was abusive. I hated myself so much. I think I just took it out on you guys, which is the same thing that I do now. It's like, it all comes from like, I'm sweating so much by revealing this of myself, but I hate myself so much that I take it out on others. Like I was talking to you about yesterday. Anytime you put someone else down, it's because you think they're better than you.
Yeah.
It never comes from anytime I put you down, it's because I'm threatened by you. It's not because I think you're shit. It's because I don't like that whatever you're exhibiting is something I wish that I had in myself. And I want to belittle you for it so that, you know, like if I make fun of you about a joke. I'm like the joke yesterday that everyone who wrote to me proved to me that they all understood you perfectly. That bothers me because I wouldn't be able to make that joke because I don't think that simplistically and like can't communicate with the masses in that way because I would fuck up the joke by overthinking it. I'll admit I probably would make the joke worse. And that makes me feel sad. So I had to double down and attack you for it as opposed to... just being like, wow, Andrew thinks differently than me. Let me celebrate that. It is a threat to me. And so I take it down. So anyway, I said that to my friends and my friend said, I said, thanks for being my friend. Despite it, I am so glad I get to redeem myself in adulthood. And then I explained where maybe my abusive streak came from, you know, just self-esteem issues. And then my friend Taylor, who had shared that recording, said, I don't have a single memory of being abused. You were probably watching me write that and I was trying to be funny. I think we were all very rough on each other. So, I mean, I don't know, but it was eye-opening to me that I used to be like mean. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Can I share this?
Of course.
Hold on. Shit.
My best friend, but she was very abusive.
Wait, hold on. Let me start it over.
I just heard abusive.
Oh my God.
Nikki is my best friend, but she is very abusive. She beats up me and Kirsten like we are her wives, and she's an old fat Hoosier. But she is the prettiest and funniest girl in the world, and that's why she is my best friend, because she is funny but also an abusive spaz.
Oh my God. I heard that and I was just devastated.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember being that way. And I probably don't even realize you've let me see how mean I can be. You've really like been, it might take a couple weeks, but you eventually come around and go, hey, when you did that thing that sucked. And so I'm able to see it. And I'm trying to be better and be a better friend and like build my friends up. But there's something in me, man, that wants to destroy anything that threatens me and makes me feel like less than. I've noticed this in other people, the kind of thing that I'm doing. I think it's classic. It's low self-esteem. It's being raised to think that, it's comparing yourself to people and knowing that the only way to achieve something is to not be better than people, but actually make them feel worse about themselves so that you can be better than them.
Ooh.
It's classic bullying.
But there's something to it where I think it's like, there's almost a fear that maybe that person will leave you. So then you try to control, have some kind of control because of the insecurity within yourself, you don't think that person will love you for just who you are, maybe?
I think there's something to that. But with you and me, like, or any of my friends, I mean, I was thinking this the other day, I don't know why I think that people are friends with me.
Yeah.
Because they can get something
that.
Of it.
Yeah.
And like, it's that I don't know what I bring to people's lives outside of,
I mean, I've told you this plenty of times. You've brought so, I mean, I would not be here.
But because I've given you opportunities, but am I that fun of a hang?
You are. When you're fun, you're fun. When you're not fun, you're not fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's you. And I know when that you'll be, I don't know. I don't think your lows are that bad anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, at least from what I've seen or from what I've
experienced. We haven't seen each other for 4 months.
I mean, I've been here a day and a half. I've seen a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the best, just earlier today with the bread thing. Wow. So I did a post to copy this girl, Raina Greenberg, who made a post where she was completely naked with bread, with like a zucchini bread.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be funny to do a completely naked pose, but with hamburger rolls.
Right.
Because it's the opposite bread. Obviously, it's just cheap and I look worse.
And it's like on a plate
on a plate in front of me. So I took the bread out of the bag nicely. My hands were washed.
You better not have eaten that bread.
I didn't even put, there was 10 rolls in there. I only used 4 of them to make sure that I didn't grab all of them. And then you look at the picture and instead of laughing, you go, did you put the bread back in the bag after you used it? I go, yeah. You go, well, that's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But like in a way where it was like, I almost killed your dog. Well, actually you might like that.
Yeah, I would have loved that.
But
choose wisely though. I mean, choose Wiley.
Poor Wiley.
I hate Wiley. Humanize Wiley.
Everyone has written me. Why does Nikki hate Wiley?
You're right. I was a bitch to you right away. And maybe that was out of jealousy that you made a funny post. Like, I don't know if it was, that you had fun today and I wasn't getting to because I have to get work done, or because you and my dad had like a fun moment shooting that I didn't get to be a part of.
I had a fun moment with your dad picking out a spot in the house where I could get naked.
I don't know what it was. I think you know what I'm so jealous of you for, and I'll just say it, is that you can just like think of things and do them and not overthink it and just like fly by the seat of your pants, and you don't you don't go so often. I don't do things because I'm like, it won't be good enough, so I'm not even going to do it. You just do it anyway. And oftentimes it's just, it is good because you just did it.
Yeah. But that same token, I think, like, I'm so jealous of your work ethic and how you can accomplish things and make them, like, there's beauty in, like when I made Bronco Boy or whatever, that, like,
yeah,
the, we shot it, like, we edited it. Even that, though, was, like, improvised. But, like, I realized when you actually make something good, mm-hmm, you feel better about, yes, yourself rather than just throwing things out into,
yeah,
the,
when
atmosphere.
You spend time, and but that takes, but the spending the time looking at something and redoing it, that's a really hard process.
Well, because if it fails, it's going to hurt more. If I just take a picture and just fucking throw it out,
if you just say picture without even saying the T part
or the C.
Bear.
Burr.
No, you're right. If you just take a picture and you just throw it out and it doesn't have, you didn't put much thought into it, who cares if no one likes it? What did you do? You wasted no time. There's no stakes.
But there's something beautiful about, like, okay, that was actually, like, that picture was designed, whatever. Like, I had a little bit of thought into it.
Yeah, that was.
But, like,
that
the other day, like, what I love.
You did not wash your hands, grab the burger buns, take them out of the thing.
That you yelled at me that I ate yesterday, which you took out of the bag. Did you put that one back in the bag?
Yeah, but I didn't take four.
Oh, shit.
And I don't eat them.
Oh, shit. So, anyways, no, I got, my brother brought, and they didn't have a beach pass for me. So my brother and his wife and my nephews, we went to the beach. I had to hide in the back of the car to get into the beach without a pass. Right. They put me under a blanket.
Yeah.
And then lied to the kids about me having a beach pass.
Oh, right.
But I filmed all that. Mm-hmm. It was spurred a moment. There was no thought in it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was some of the best entertainment I could ever even, like,
right,
drum up. And those are the kind of things that, like, it's hard to recreate that when you try to make things.
Yeah. That's why I want to do a reality show. It's like, yeah, you don't have to think about it. You can just live and you don't have to overanalyze it. And that's why I like stand up too, because you do it and then it's gone and you don't have to look back on it. And I don't have to. And that's why I'm struggling with doing stand up now, is because if I'm doing one show a month, I have to look at my notes. I have to think about, what did I just say? What do I really want to remember? But if I'm doing it every night, I don't have to think. It just happens. So that's what I was crying to my therapist about today. And all of the same stuff. I mean, this is all, it's really good to talk about, and I hope that people don't think I'm a terrible person.
You're not.
I think in many ways I am. You don't understand some of the thoughts I have. They're so fucking mean and dark, and I hate them about myself. I wish I could just only wish good. Like, there's a meditation that Sam Harris leads you in sometimes. If you guys have done the Waking App meditation, mm-hmm, there's one called Metta, and if you're familiar with that kind, and it's said that way, it's really obnoxious. He,
like,
really,
Metta, but Metta?
Metta. Metta. I don't know why.
M-E-T-A.
It's like a child saying metta. Yeah, like learning how to say it. It's like how you would say picture if you were thinking about it.
I love how you described how a child said it and then said it like a child again.
But it's that's how you're supposed to say it. It's like a child learning how to speak.
Metta.
No. The meditation is called Metta. I don't know why. I think it has like an apostrophe and like, oh, maybe, okay, a little, right, weird accent.
So what do you do in it?
You wish loving kindness to others. So the meditation is like, you feel kindness when you wish it upon others. So what he does is he has you think of someone that you have a non-complex relationship. Like, if you were doing it, you wouldn't think of me. You wouldn't think of your dad or your brother, or you would think of someone who just you only, like, you would probably think of your nephew or someone you only want to feel the good things about, like that someone you have a non-complex relationship with. I cannot think of anyone for this now, and it's not because there's no one I don't have a non-complex relationship with. It's because during the meditation, all you have to say over and over is, I wish them a life of free of pain, free of anxiety, free of worry. I wish them nothing but happiness. I wish them, and by wishing love and kindness and all these things, you therefore feel them yourself, because you realize, I really want this for someone. And I can wish it for animals, no problem. I can do that for animals. But humans, other humans, I'm too jealous to wish total happiness to another human, because I am so jealous of having someone feel just only happy. That's when I get mad at you, is when you're too happy.
I know, it's happened. You've said that before.
You saying happened. I'm mad because it's close to the word happy.
Yeah, happening.
I don't know what that is. I would love a DM from someone.
No,
if anyone relates to other people being
that,
happy,
though,
and you want to bring them down because you're so sad.
I know. I guess the question, though, is like, how can you start enjoying more? I don't know.
I know what it is. The answer is, loving yourself and accepting yourself and not comparing yourself. And a lot of it is in that video that I told you guys about yesterday. I shared it. Go back and listen to the podcast from yesterday to watch. It's all the lessons from The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I mean, that really is what this is about. But I hate admitting that I have low self-esteem because people always write me and they're like, you're beautiful and you're funny and you're all this. And I got to say, it doesn't matter what you say. If it worked that way, that accolades made you feel esteem, I would feel good.
I know there's just like things that
I don't
know
what to do.
I don't know. I mean, think back when so I stayed at my brother's for the last month and a half. Mm-hmm. So I was around my nephews a lot, but my brother, he had lacrosse sticks, right? Mini lacrosse sticks with the ball. And almost every other day we'd go outside around 6 p.m. and just toss. And I know that sounds like ridiculous, but it's like just that moment. And those are like kid things that made me so happy. Like, oh my God, can I go play? And then you get to play and you get to just throw a fucking ball with a stick and you forget about the world. You just live and you catch and you throw. Same with surfing, anything like that. And I don't know if you feel that during running or whatever, but like, I feel like those are some of the things that like, when I look at you, I get sad sometimes because I feel like you don't enjoy those like little things.
I don't enjoy anything.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this, honestly, because I feel like this is an actual real conversation that isn't about just some like fluffy shit. And like, this is like, we're having a conversation that people do not, no other comedy podcast is having a conversation like this.
Actually, I heard.
You heard Schultz.
Schultz did a good one with Tim Dillon on Patreon.
65 more jokes than it took. God damn it, Schultz. You got to watch. By the way, I will give a shout out to someone I'm jealous of is Andrew Schultz. He made a video about just woke Hollywood and you guys got to go watch it. I wanted to hate it so bad and I wanted it to not be funny, but it was so good and it is so good. But you're right. And running is not something that I do to like relax. It does get me, it distracts me from my own thoughts. I turn up the music. I'm so distracted by how hard it is that I can't think of the negative thoughts. Tossing a ball around, like that sounds good. And I want to try to do more of those things that just, because as soon as you said that, when you were like talking about being a kid, I was not plagued by this shit as a kid. I think, I don't know what age it happened, but it just switched from being like, I just want to have fun all the time. I'll do this. I'll do that. Like not overthinking anything. And then something happened. And I just can't enjoy swimming, for instance. We got to wrap up this podcast. But swimming, I haven't been in the pool since I've lived here and since it's been open. And I'm not going to go in the pool because when I was a kid, all I did was do the pool. That's all I did was swim. Now I don't see the point of it. You just stand. What are we getting done here? And it's like, because it's fun, Nikki. And I don't know what fun is. I'm trying to think of the last time I had fun.
Without there being a goal in mind or like something to achieve.
Right.
You think it's pointless.
Yes.
Because, and then you also of not being good at it. Like it was funny because I was on the diving board. I wasn't going to dive in, but yesterday I just went on the diving board. I was walking around and I remember jumping off. Like it brought, like I haven't been on a diving board in years.
Right.
And I remember jumping off a diving board as a kid and you would just line up and you're like, I'm going this time. Yeah. I'm doing a front flip. And I was on the diving board and I started checking it to be like, okay, will it fall? Like, yes. I started to analyze the diving, like, and it's like, when did I become such a fucking, like, but then again, I thought about it, I was like, the older you get, the less room there is for error. Like, you'll hurt yourself if you,
For me, air shows, diving boards. That's when my panic used to set in as a kid, and we got to wrap up, but like, nothing elicited more stress and anxiety from me as a kid. I had a couple things that would make me go off the deep end and make my parents look at each other. You know when you see your parents look at each other? And clock how what an insane child they have. Did that ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Where you would see them worry about you, or kind of just be like, "Oh my god, like what the fuck did we?"
They were too busy fighting to even know I was in the room.
That sucks.
But yeah. So then
maybe protected you. But there were just a couple things in my childhood where I saw my parents look at each other like, "She's special. Like we have a special case on our hands." Like just throwing tantrums about small shit. But every year at Tree Court at my pool. Named Tree Court. They would have like the dads and the moms. I mean, I feel it right now, the anxiety. I would always want to go home early, but even the idea that it was happening and I wasn't there would stress me out. Was dads would jump on the diving board. Ooh, I am getting like the way we are on a two-lane highway, like thinking about this.
What is it though?
It's when you jump on the diving board, dads would jump and then they would jump back up and then they would do like a double jump to get as much spring. And I was so scared that they were going to break the diving board or they were going to hit it in a weird way. And I just, or they were going to hit the side of the pool and smack their head or somehow my dad was going to be injured or another. Like, I can't stand that stuff. And that used to So diving boards for me never elicited much fun unless I was doing it, because I knew I would do it the responsible way.
I think if you're anywhere around our age, you remember Greg Louganis hitting his head. Do you remember that?
Yes. That was part of it.
World news. That was huge news.
Yeah. Fucking Wiley.
Anyways, but yeah, and I just remember like that might have changed how people perceived.
Yeah, I think it was something about that.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to show you these trampoline guys.
Oh, no.
Dude, I know. That's why I think you need exposure therapy.
No, I would never go to circuses because I don't like death-defying things. I would never go see the Beatles Cirque du Soleil thing, even though I heard it's amazing. I don't want to see anyone doing anything death-defying. It like makes me – I think I just aged 2 years sitting here even reliving it.
I get what you're saying, though. Like if I watch the videos – oh, you're going to get chills from this.
Like Tosh.0, I've never watched.
No, the ones where the guys are walking on the top of skyscrapers – and they're on the corner, like,
oh, yeah,
or they're jump, like, there's space in between each column, and they're jumping column to column over 2,000 feet. So, slip, just fucking dead.
It's
always
nuts.
White people, it's always just dumb white people that can't, like, I don't know, they just do dumb shit.
I know. Let's go do some dumb shit. Okay, what are we gonna go do? Do you wanna go dive? Can you do a backflip?
I can do a front flip,
I can do a backflip.
All right, let's do it. We'll put it on video.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I want to be seen on the swimsuit on video. That's talk about death defying. God. I don't need anyone being like, you look good for your age.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's hard when you get that. Sometimes you wish you only had like 10 fans and you could control exactly who they are and what they say.
Yes. But even the ones that are so effusively like positive irritate me sometimes too.
That's true.
Because I'm like, you don't get it. You know, the ones that think I'm shit, I'm actually like, yeah, you're the ones that get me.
It's unbelievable.
But I want to say, regardless of all this stuff, Andrew, thank you for being so vulnerable on the show today. And thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you to everyone who's listening. And I hope you still want to listen after the show and you realize that I'm a bad person. And also DM me anything you want and keep sending me your cuz. I'm going to get to them at some point this week. They're making me laugh so hard. Cuh. If you don't know what cuz, go listen to Friday's episode and I'll explain it. Andrew, do you have a cuh for today? Anything cuh?
Well, something that is cuh is my podcast.
No, your podcast isn't cuh.
No, I know, but I did want to just promote it. I didn't know how else to get into it without saying it was.
Yeah, if you enjoy Andrew, you will love his podcast. He is all things honest and just silly and fun. And he got recognized at the airport yesterday from it. He has tons of fans from Puddles, the podcast. Go subscribe, download, and support his Patreon. Go throw $5 a month his way if you know what's good for you, because you'll get mini episodes, bonus things. And that's how he's making money right now, is his Patreon. So if you want to do a good thing, donate to Andrew through his Patreon. Puddles is the podcast. Andrew T. Conlin on Instagram.
You've been on it, what, 3 times? Or
yeah,
four?
Probably going to be in the fourth.
Yeah, you will.
Okay, sweet. I can't look forward to it.
I look forward
to it. That was a combination of I look forward to it and
maybe
I can't wait.
I'll just post this on Puddles too.
I mean, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah,
we worked through some stuff today. If I didn't do anything today, I did this and it feels good. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. Squirt.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.